makers of X-Lax present Strange as It Seems. Every man and woman has a story, from the headliners in history to the man in the street, from the latest events in today's newspaper to the dim pages of antiquity. The strangest of these are presented to you twice each week by the makers of X-Lax, the original chocolate laxative. But before we start on tonight's strange adventures, may we ask you one question? Have you ever tried X-Lax? We could talk and talk, telling you all of its merits, but it won't mean half as much as your own personal experience. We can tell you X-Lax is milder, gentler, more thoroughly effective. We can tell you that it's a joy to take, tasting just like delicious chocolate. We can tell you all of its good points, but find out for yourself. We sincerely believe that once you have tried X-Lax, like millions of other people, you'll never be content with anything else. Incidentally, a box costs 10 cents at any drugstore. Get your box today. Horse flies that made history. Did you know that horse flies are responsible for the 4th of July? It is July 4th, 1776, in Independence Hall, Philadelphia. For 3 days, Thomas Jefferson has been arguing with the members of the Continental Congress over his proposed Declaration of Independence. Everything seems to be wrong with it.
Of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. Well, gentlemen, I've read the whole thing.
Mr. Harrison, what do you think of it?
Mr. Jefferson, there's but one word in this paper that I approve of, and that is the word Congress.
Mr. Jefferson, I think it's unwise to apply the words unfeeling brethren to the people of England.
I do. And I don't like the idea of calling it the United States. It ought to be the United Colonies.
Gentlemen. I'd prefer to alter that first phrase, when in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve...
Mr. Gwinnett, I think you are making much too much of the whole matter.
I beg your pardon, Mr. Rutledge. I trust we have a right to our own opinion.
If the opinion carries any weight...
What, sir? I beg your pardon.
Gentlemen, it's much too hot a day. Can't we come to some final agreement?
I'm sorry, Mr. Jefferson, to keep you from your cool front porch.
Well, I, for one, am going to open that window over there.
No, Mr. Gwinnett.
Well, young Jefferson, how do you feel now?
Blamed hot, Mr. Franklin.
I've made it a rule never to write a paper that's to be reviewed by a public body. I took my lesson years ago from a little story I'm going to tell you.
One of Ben Franklin's stories would be comforting right now.
A friend of mine made a sign which said, John Thompson, hatter, makes and sells hats for ready money. First, he submitted his sign to all his friends for their suggestion. The first one said to take out hatter. He took that out. Well, then, first one, then another took some words out until all that was left was John Thompson sells hats. Friend said, sells hats? Well, nobody would expect you to give them away. So out came the word sells and finally the word hats. All that was left was John Thompson. You understand? Hey, these flies are getting very bothersome.
Why, they must have come in when I opened the window. There's a livery stable around the corner. Well, these flies are bad. Well, might as well find out what they did.
Yeah.
Well, you gentlemen, it's a disgrace that we have to sit here sweltering in this heat. And if I may say the word... Sweating like horse.
Yes. Not to mention, Mr. Harrison, being bitten to death by horseflies. Yes.
Gentlemen, I propose a suggestion.
Yes, Mr. Hangott.
As president of the Continental Congress, I suggest that we omit the reference to the guilt of the English citizenry, and that to slavery. But otherwise, accept this Declaration of Independence as it stands.
You might as well.
That would be a good idea.
Yeah, we'll get away from these flies anyway.
I, for one, will signify my approval by signing first.
You're a young rascal.
Why, what do you mean, Mr. Franklin?
I didn't know you for a law-abiding young citizen. I'd say you'd open that window and let in those horse flies on purpose, hmm?
Strange as it seems, an open window without a screen, a livery stable around the corner, some hot July weather, and a few large horse flies were largely the reason why we celebrate the signing of the Declaration of Independence on the 4th of July. The amazing parallel. A momentous year. Two great men are born in that year who are destined one day to face each other in battle. One born in Corsica is christened Napoleon Bonaparte. The other is born in Ireland. His name is Arthur Wellesley. When they are old enough, the two boys are sent to military schools in France, one to Paris, the other to Anjou. Young Bonaparte goes to the École Militaire in Paris. One day, he sits under a tree working out a complicated problem in military tactics. Another boy, Leopold Dupas, throws himself down on the grass beside the young Napoleon.
Why don't you come with us, Napoleon? It is a holiday. We are going to Dupas.
I have no time for play.
Oh, but what are you doing? Let me look.
It is just a problem.
What kind of a problem?
I'm working out an imaginary battle.
Battle? Don't you get enough of that during school hours?
No, I never get enough of battle.
Ah, eh bien. Well, I, for one, am going to the bois with the others. They say the queen sometimes goes there. François danced with her once.
Marie Antoinette will not dance much longer.
Napoleon, that is treason. I am thankful I do not have to rule France. It is too much work.
I will not mind the work.
You will not mind?
Oh, it is nothing. Run along, Leo, like a good fellow.
Sure you will not join us. Oh, there is such a moon tonight.
Yeah. No, I am all right. Goodbye, Leo. Enjoy yourself.
Au revoir.
That night in the bois, the moon casts a fairy-like radiance over the wooded slopes and the little glen lit by lanterns. Leopold, alone for the moment, notices a young man in cadet uniform standing apart from the others. He takes pity on him.
How so, monsieur?
You look lonely.
Oh, no. You see, this is my first evening in Paris.
You are English. I see that. You are in military school here?
Yes, at Angers.
Tiens. May I introduce myself? I am Leopold Dupin.
And I am Arthur Wellesley.
Charmant. I was just going to a little cabaret. Will you join me?
I should like to very much, but I have a lot of reading to do.
Reading? Oh, mon Dieu. You are as bad as Napoleon Bonaparte. He is the shining light of our school, but parbleu, how he works.
Perhaps he prefers to work. For instance, I prefer to read about India than to dance a polka.
Read about India?
Someday I plan to go there with the English army.
You actually know what you want to do? Oh, you and Napoleon must have been born under the same star.
Indeed. Perhaps I will meet this Napoleon someday. Who knows? We might even become friends.
Many years pass. Napoleon has realized his destiny. He has become emperor of France, has involved all Europe in war. Then fate steps in and he's defeated. Broken in power, but not in spirit, he is sent to Elba, a prisoner. But a few months later, he escapes, returns to France. War again. Then follows the Battle of Waterloo. June 18, 1815. Napoleon is hopelessly outnumbered by the Allied forces under the command of Wellington, the Iron Duke.
Who is the Duke of Wellington? Why, he is the boy named Arthur Wellesley, whom you met on that Paris moonlit night many years ago. Remember, he said then that he would rather read about India than dance the polka. He also realized his ambition. He has gone to India, made an immortal name for himself, received the title of Duke of Wellington. Now, after 30 years, he faces the greatest general in the world on the field of battle. One of them will be the victor. Which one? It is 9 in the evening. Napoleon has begun to retreat. At an inn near the battlefield, Wellington confers with the Prussian general, Blücher.
Ach, Wellington, we have him now.
Yes, Napoleon is ours.
Yeah, so many times he almost had us.
Then we would not be talking like this if Napoleon were the man he used to be.
Ah, perhaps. But his soldiers would rather die for Napoleon than live for anyone else.
You know, it's odd. But I just remembered an incident of many years ago.
So?
It was in Paris. Some French cadets asked me to go to a cabaret. I remember that they mentioned a Napoleon, a boy who was a great student. I've often wondered, could it have been this Napoleon?
I wonder.
Well, this is no time for such talk. It's agreed then. The Prussians follow the retreat of the French. Don't let them rest a moment, Blücher. Make Napoleon cross the River Somme. This time we must finish him forever.
Coincidence played an amazing part in the careers of Napoleon and the Duke of Wellington. Both were born on an island in the same year. Each lost his father at the age of 16. Each had 4 brothers and 3 sisters. Each went to a French military school at the same time. Each became a great military leader. But at Waterloo, Wellington became the victor. Napoleon, the vanquished.
Not all wars are fought on battlefields. Some of the greatest are fought by scientists in quiet laboratories with test tubes. Perhaps one of the bitterest and most baffling has been against colds, just common, everyday colds. And while science isn't ready to tell us just what causes colds, it has laid down some simple but important rules for their prevention. Get enough sleep. Eat wisely. Dress warmly. Keep out of drafts. Keep your feet dry. And keep regular. Sounds simple, doesn't it? But in keeping regular, remember that you must choose the right laxative for you. It must be mild, gentle, and yet thoroughly effective. And X-Lax is as mild and gentle and yet as thoroughly effective as any laxative. And this is important, too. It is a delight to take. It tastes just like smooth, velvety chocolate. X-Lax is the ideal laxative for every member of your family. Next time, you will hear of the world's strangest text and an old-fashioned cure for rabies. You will also travel to the strange mausoleum of knowledge. You have just heard Strange as It Seems by John Hicks with original music composed and conducted by Felix Mills. Yale was founded by Harvard men.